Morning, family. Good to see y'all this morning, 9 a.m. Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving. Oh my gosh, thank you. 9 a.m., I love y'all, but good grief. All right, it is Thanksgiving week. I'm excited. Fat boys usually are, all right? Thank you, Steve. We are excited. It's going to be a great week. In talking about being thankful, let me say this because I don't say it enough, but I am incredibly thankful for our staff here. Katie, Cameron, Joel, Carissa, and Cheryl do an incredible job, and I'm so thankful for them. And they're great friends to me and my family. Church, they love you, and they have a heart to serve you. And so I'm so thankful for our staff and all that they do in the way that they shepherd and love you. And so, yeah, you can give them a hand. Give them a hug and tell them thank you too this week, all right? If you got your Bibles, let's open up Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. I told you last week, hopefully you learned the song, right? You remember? Okay, no, somebody else still need to go YouTube, all right? The wise man builds his house upon the rock. All right, that's what we're talking about this morning. All right, that's our passage. Now, foundation is incredibly important. I had to learn this the hard way. We sold our house. We moved from here, from El Dorado to back. This is home for us. But we moved from El Dorado, and we were getting ready to sell our home in El Dorado. We did an inspection. And like most of South Arkansas, everything shifts. All right? Everything shifts in South Arkansas. And what we did not realize when we bought the home, because we didn't do a really good inspection, is when we pulled back the carpet in one of the rooms, we saw a huge crack. And we realized we had foundation issues. And so obviously before we sell, that has to be fixed. And so with great pain and suffering, I had to call a foundation expert to come in and fix our foundation. That was a hard lesson to learn. But here's what it did. When we got up here and we were house hunting and I walked into a house over in Benton and we walk in the front door and I'm doing this. Y'all, I knew. This house has foundation issues. All right, and then we ran. All right, we closed the door and we ran. Foundation is so important for the building of a home. I learned the hard way. But what we're learning this morning is what Jesus is teaching us is indeed in house building it's important, but in life building it's incredibly important. I would say more important in how we build our lives. And so this morning we're going to read Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 29. Stand with me if you will as we read God's word together. Verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat against that house. It fell in great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that indeed shows us how to build our lives. I pray that during this time, our hearts would be open and receptive to what you have to say to us. Father, would you speak through me this morning? Would you say the things that you want to be said? And would you prohibit me from saying the things that do not need to be said this morning? And would you speak? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are finishing up our series of Inside Out, talking about the Sermon on the Mount. As Jesus is closing up this sermon, the greatest sermon ever preached. Jesus is closing up this sermon, concluding it, with a question. So what? So what? You've heard these things. What are we going to do with them? Will you obey? Now, let me just run through the list of things he's calling us to obey, of what we've listened to over this last semester. Through the Beatitudes, we've heard about happiness that comes in pain, humility, and persecution. He's called us to be salt and light. He calls us not to be wrongfully angry, to not have lust in our heart, to not divorce unless there's biblical grounds, not to take oaths, not to retaliate, but to show love, to love anyone who hurts you. Give generously to those in need without any attention for yourself. To find joy in prayer, to fast and don't show it, to lay up treasures in heaven and abandon the pursuits of worldly possessions. To not be anxious, to not judge others, to seek God for our needs, to treat others the way we want to be treated, to beware of false prophets and even false conversions. That is the entirety of our message that he's called us to. Do you feel overwhelmed? Incredible wisdom that he's giving us, the most important sermon ever preached, straight from the mouth of Christ, that he has called us to say, you've heard this, but I tell you this. And in that wisdom, he's called us to be obedient. It is daunting, but at the same time, it's incredibly freeing, knowing that it is Christ who has called us. The charge is simple this morning, just to obey. Obey. Obedience is important for us as Christ followers. Matthew Henry says, it is not enough to hear Christ's sayings and to understand them, to hear them, remember them, talk about them, repeat them, and reason about them. We must hear and do them. It's a daunting task. But what do these foundations have to do with obedience? Well, let's go back and read there in the first part of Matthew 7. It says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell and great was the fall of it. The two foundations are very simplistic. Very simple to understand. It's simple that you would build your house on a solid foundation. It's wise to know the foundation before you build. But let me just tell you, as simplistic as it is to compare sand and rock, it is also simplistic for us to understand there's a difference between obedience and disobedience. That's just as clear for us. That what Jesus is calling us to is incredibly clear. To obey, and to not to disobey. Well, let's look at the two foundations. First, let's look at the rock. Obedience is a foundation, but not so much in the sense of obedience earns life, but rather without obedience, there is not life to be found. And it can only be found in the rock. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19 says this, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share, being obedient. Again, Jesus just preached this to us. Thus storing up treasures for themselves as what? A good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Obedience and good works is the rock of our foundation. It is a life lived in obedience that declares indeed whose we are. Now, what Jesus is preaching to us this morning is obedience is the rock. But that's not limited. Because all throughout Scripture, the picture is not just that obedience is the rock, but indeed Christ himself is the rock. That's the picture he is giving us, not just now, but all through Scripture. We read this in Isaiah 28:16, going back in the Old Testament. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone. We just sang about that. Of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. Or here's what it means. Is unshakable. And that cornerstone he is declaring is indeed the Messiah, which is Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, as the rock was Christ. This is a picture of going back into the Exodus, but this is a declaration that indeed the rock is Christ. Ephesians 2:20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, the rock that the foundation sits on. So as Jesus has called us to be obedient, to say indeed obedience is the rock, there is no obedience outside of knowing Christ, who is the rock. The sure foundation for our lives. Everything stands and is built upon Christ. And without Christ, we are nothing. We are nothing. No matter what we build, it's nothing if it's on the wrong foundation. Well, let's look at sand. Building on bad soil is a terrible idea. You can go to Italy, and there is a tower that sits at 5.5 degrees off. It's in Pisa, right? The Leaning Tower of Pisa. They estimate that probably within the next 100 years, it will fall. How it stayed up this long, nobody knows, right? The pitch that it's at, it should have already fallen. But when they built that tower, they built it and stopped and built it and stopped. There was war going on. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And they, as they were building it, they did not realize the soil that they were building it on and how flimsy it was. So now what's highlighted in Pisa is a terrible mistake that just happens by God's grace, I guess, to stand where it stands. But it's also an example of what it looks like when we build on bad soil. That the weight of the house can't stand bad soil. Titus 2:11 through 12 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. That is the calling that he's called us. But where is the struggle found in that verse? Renouncing ungodliness and worldly passions. Those things are the sand. Disobedience. Living for what we can see and what we have puts us on a bad foundation. The struggles we have in this life, where a world continues to tell us, if you have these things, you'll feel purpose, you'll feel value. If you'll chase these things like all of us are chasing them, then look, once you finally get these things, you'll feel peace. You'll feel happiness. And a home built on those things cannot stand. It can't bear the weight of what you're putting on it. Your eternal salvation is too heavy to be built on sand. Well, not only do we see the foundations, the rock and the sand, we actually see the building of this home. Let's go back and talk about that obedience. That our obedience, it really is the building process. That this is a work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. And this is a natural thing for a believer, that we're to hear what Jesus has called us to do and be obedient to it. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will what? Come on, 9 o'clock. If you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. Church, it's not enough to say that we love Jesus. We read about that last week. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to walk into the kingdom of God. But it is to love him means we obey him. That there's obedience to what he's called us to. That is building our lives, our obedience. The grace of God that brought us into salvation also trains us to turn our back on the things of this world and to strive towards holiness. Church, we preach a lot of grace. A lot of grace. And if I'm going to be known for something, maybe that's a good thing, to be that we preach grace too much. But can I just tell you, let's just have an honest conversation, all right? Do we sin? Yes. Does God know our sins? Yes. Do we continue to have sin struggles even though we come to faith in Christ? Yes. But that does not mean that we quit striving. We don't abuse grace by saying it doesn't matter what we do. Disobedience is a misunderstanding of what grace is. We listen to God's word and we obey out of love. We don't quit sinning, but listen, our relationship to sin changes. It changes greatly. It's not like it was before. Our heart now turns to want to be obedient. Can I give you a quote that you probably need to write down? It's from John Owen. Be killing sin or it will be killing you. Be killing sin or it will be killing you. For us as believers, we understand God has saved us into this wonderful relationship with him by his grace. But he has not left us. He has called us into this life of obedience. So let me just tell you, some of you have weighed whether or not to give your life to Christ, and it is, I'm so thankful that you have weighed this option, that indeed you've thought about what this is going to mean for you. And let me just tell you, I don't know how anybody, like, we try to paint it all rosy, like if you come to Jesus, everything's going to be okay. Can I just tell you that if you come to Jesus, what he's calling you to is a life of obedience. So to cross that line of faith is to get all these wonderful things, these beautiful things that Christ has done for you. But let me just tell you too, it is to be measured, and it's not a flippant decision. We understand what he's called us to is obedience. And we love oftentimes, and I'm guilty of this, to try to make this easy. And y'all, this is not easy, but it's beautiful. And let me just tell you this morning, as we're gonna learn, it's so much better than the alternative. A life lived for Christ is better. So let's look at the storm. We've looked at the foundations. Let's look at the storm. The storm is an incredibly important role in this story. And really, there's two ideas of storm that are in Scripture. One is the storms of life. All right? If you've noticed the story between the rock and the sand, the storm hits both houses. All right? Jesus gives us this picture in John 16 that says, in this world, you will have trouble. That's promised to us. Matthew 5 says, for he being God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. The storms of life will hit everyone. And if you have not been hit by a storm of life, it's coming. It's going to be true for every single one of us. But it's different. That really, when for us as believers, we understand that there are reasons storms come up in our lives. Some that we can explain, some that are clear, that we see how God's working in difficulties in our life, and we have the blessing of having something revealed to us to say, here's why you went through what you went through. But church, that's not always the case. We don't always get that picture. But here's what we do know. Is that the one who builds his house upon the rock, that builds his house on Christ, will not face the storms of this life alone. That God is present with us. And most importantly this, God does not waste storms. It's not just random. God doesn't sit back and go, I didn't see that one coming. He doesn't waste them. He uses them. But not only are the storm the picture of the storms of life, y'all, the storms are also a picture of judgment to come. 1 Corinthians 3:12-15. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Judgment is to come to the believer and to the unbeliever. That judgment reveals the foundation for us. For the believer, judgment will come and it'll show what our good deeds were if they were done in faith to the glory of Christ. That's what this passage says. But to the one who has never trusted in Christ, when judgment comes, when this final storm comes, it will reveal that the foundation was sand. And y'all, the saddest verse that's in what we've read today is at the end of what we read about the storm. And it says, and great was the fall of it. How difficult it is to hear that. Great was the fall of it. The storm came and it revealed the foundation. And it was sad how the house fell. Our culture separates us from the concept of death. We live in a very sanitized view of death. We have funeral homes that take care of everything. We have hospitals that quarantine off those that are imminent to death. We try to sanitize our view of death as much as possible. That's why we have the idiom about whistling through the graveyard. Is that because to understand the shortness of this life and our own mortality is a difficult thing for us. It was not always the case. Specifically, it's for our time right now. 200 years ago in our country, this was not an issue. You were very well aware of mortality. But in our world today, the way that we have sculpted it, we have made this as very sanitized and separate as we can, because we as a culture find it difficult to understand our own mortality, that one day we will die. I don't know how I'm going to encourage you with this, but I'm going to encourage you with this anyway. It is not morbid to understand that you will die. It's a discipline. Do you hear me? It's not morbid to know that one day this world will end for you. It's a discipline. And if you'll master that discipline, look what obedience looks like in light of it. Look what it looks like to treasure Christ in light of knowing that you are not promised tomorrow. All of a sudden, that makes treasuring Christ is way more important to us. Y'all, as believers, would we develop that discipline? That when we see our own mortality, all of a sudden, it exposes our foundation, that our foundation is in Christ. And building that home the way that it's supposed to be built matters a little bit more. If you've never trusted in Christ, the gift today is to say that to look at your own mortality today would perhaps expose your foundation as sand, and that you trust in him. I used this a year ago, but we all have short-term memories, so I'm going to use it again. This happened in Mexico Beach, Florida. I'm going to show you a picture right here. This was Hurricane Michael that hit the coast of Florida. Just on the Gulf, you know how homes are built. You know, many of you have probably seen these houses. But what was unique in this storm of Hurricane Michael was this home. This home, when they built it, planned for storms. The foundation of those poles that goes down deeper, 40 feet below the surface, poured concrete. The screws that are used in that home are not normal screws. Longer, deeper, prepared for storms. And when Michael hit and wiped out everything around it, the owners of this home sat safely miles away and watched on their webcam at how this house never moved. When the home is built on the foundation it's supposed to be, the home anticipates storms and it trusts in the foundation. So here's the gift we have out of this. Here's the gift, is assurance. Assurance that we can know because our home is built on the right foundation that will last. Jesus finishes up this message in 28 and 29 and talks about when they listened to him preach, there was authority that he had that they did not recognize. It was tradition for the rabbis as they taught, they would cite people. All right? You've heard my messages. I quote a lot of people. All right? Because I don't have an original thought at all in my mind. So I have to use everybody else's, okay? In that same way, rabbis would make arguments based upon who they cited. They would say, this rabbi says this. This rabbi says this. Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount and never once cites anyone else. And when he gets done, they notice. By the way, they are the secondary audience, if you remember. The disciples were the primary. But the secondary audience that's listening says, he's not like our guys. He's not. The authority that he brings, these things that he says, we've never heard this before. Here's the beautiful thing about that authority. That authority that preached, that astonished the people, is the same authority that has promised to hold you. That he will hold you. That I am his and he is mine. That authority declares, when we build our life on the rock, it's a beautiful thing that we can hold on to. John 10, 28 through 29, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. This morning, if you need something to be thankful for, and you have trusted in Christ, would you be thankful for the assurance of your salvation because the Father holds you? Would your heart be overwhelmed this morning by the fact that you have done nothing to earn your salvation and you can do nothing to maintain it? It is only through God holding on to you through the finished work of Christ. Would you be overwhelmed by that today? Church, can I tell you, I've heard it and I love to quote it, but if you could lose your salvation, you would. You would. If it was up to you, you would. But that's not on your authority. That's not on your ability. You didn't come into this on your own, and you don't stay on your own. 1 John 5:13, John is declaring that people, believers, are to know their eternal life. Romans 8, 38 through 39, Paul is showing us that nothing can separate us from the love of God and lists this long list of all these things that can never separate you from the love of God. I understand this is a whole other message, and I wish I could preach it, all right? But I want you to know that if you've trusted him, you are his forever. That's your homework. Go back and look. Look at what Scripture says about assurance. We are saved by grace, not good works, so that a deficiency of good works or the presence of sin does not do a thing to grace. We are saved through faith, not an adequate amount of faith, but just the presence of faith. That's how we come to him. Romans 8, 29 through 30. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn, or that is, hold primacy among many brothers. listen to this, and those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Where do you see your name in that? Nowhere. It is God's activity that saved us. Did we play a part in calling ourselves? No. Did we play a part in justifying ourselves? No. Did we play a part in glorifying ourselves? No. Our obedience is love, but ultimately it is the work of God himself to save us and maintain us. Church, if we can trust that the accomplishment of our salvation was God's provision, we can be assured that the completion of our salvation is by God's promise. If it is done through Christ and what he accomplished on the cross, by dying upon the cross, bearing the weight of our sins, so that now we are given his righteousness, so as we just sung, we can stand faultless before the throne. If he has accomplished that for us, then he will maintain our salvation by his promise and not our own perfection or our performance. The encouragement thing for us is he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Church, can we trust in Christ as our foundation by repenting and believing? If you've never given your life to him, the charge is to say what you're building on today will not last. That by God, listen to me, I know this doesn't sound right, but it is. By God's grace, he will bring storms into your life to expose your foundation. And if it's not him, that is God's goodness to you. It doesn't feel that way, but trust me, it is. That he has brought storms into your life to be able to say, what you are trusting in is not me. You need to repent and believe in me. If you've never done that, the call today for you is repent and believe. If you have, the storms of life will expose the foundation again and to say, I'm the one that holds you. I'm the one that holds you. You're mine. And there will be a final judgment day to come, and those that have never given their life to him, the foundation is exposed, and they're separated from God for eternity. And for those of us that by God's grace has called us into this life of obedience, that our foundation is indeed Christ, then we know that we are his for eternity and will be with him for eternity. In college, I learned an old hymn. It's the title of the message, How Firm a Foundation. As we close, I just want to read you the lyrics of this song. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathways shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. How firm is our foundation? Let's pray. Father, thank you for saving us and redeeming us. Thank you for the life that you've called us into of obedience. But you've not called us to do it alone. You have enabled us through your Spirit that the homes that we are building would rest upon you. And the storms of this life that we don't understand all the times why would remind us on the rock we stand. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, that we can walk out of here a people that know we are yours, not because of us, not because of what we do, but because of what has been done and what's been finished. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. God, would you overwhelm our hearts today? How you have saved us, and nothing will ever change that. We ask this in Jesus' name.